What if your personal or business brand was so focused and so on target that it was easy for everyone in your organization to understand? What if you connected with your clients on an emotional level so deeply that they never forgot you? This is what the most successful brands in the world do. It's not about ad budgets. It's about developing a consistent brand, no matter the industry, location, or size of the company. Discover your brand and create an amazing, foolproof marketing strategy. This is the Brand Archetypes Podcast, hosted by Kevin Scarrett and Amy Zander, owners of BrandArchetypes.com. Join them on a journey to discover your most powerful, true brand.
Welcome back to the Brand Archetypes Podcast, everyone. This is Kevin Scarrett, and I am with Amy Zander. Amy, how are you on this magical day?
I am feeling fantastic today.
Good, 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 good. So if you remember from last week's episode, we had a request from our listener, Zoe, and she asked that we review the marketing of the magician archetype. So we waved our magic wands, we rearranged a couple of things, and if you recall, her company is a line of skincare products. So voila, here we are today, ready to talk about the magician. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay, so let's dive right in. So for the listeners, if you have been listening, let's say the past five or six episodes, we have so far in those batches of podcasts, we have reviewed the marketing of the hero, the outlaw, the jester, and the innocent. And so today we're going to talk about the marketing of the magician. And in each of these episodes, we began by reviewing the big ideas contained in the archetype. And the idea behind doing that is so you can kind of take those ideas and infuse them into your marketing and think about how the big idea affects the actual message and the approach that you're taking with that marketing piece. So we're going to do the same thing here, except the magician, as an archetype, it really only has two big ideas, where like the hero has, I don't know, four or five or six, and the jester has at least four, three or four or five. So, you know, it feels like it might be limited in the big ideas that you're going to tap into, but they're really powerful, right? So our review today should be pretty quick and easy. And Amy, why don't you get us started?
Okay. So the first concept is pretty obvious, being magical. So if you have a story to tell about your product or service and you have a mystical quality or life-changing service or something like that, your process goes far beyond the normal world. You can tap into some ideas like technology. To the average person, feels like magic for sure. And you can be well served by this archetype. So pretty much tapping into any idea that goes a step beyond being able to explain it with logic or easy to grasp facts. Mm-hmm. Another approach is to create a scenario, typically with storytelling, like we've talked about, that mm-hmm. requires a bit of otherworldly magic. So we're going to be dating ourselves for a minute here, Kevin.
Yeah, I know.
If you think about the Calgon bath soap commercials, like, Calgon, take me away. And you see the woman like slipping into the tub and then magically transporting to a faraway beach. Nobody actually believes that soap is going to take you to a beach. But it conveys through that magic process how you'll feel when you use that process. And I think maybe a slightly more modern version would be like the I can't believe it's not butter commercials.
Where yeah, like, that's barely slightly.
It's not like yeah. Fabio yeah. pops up and you're like, oh, I'm eating butter right. with Fabio. Well, that was that, right? Was it right. the part of that? Yeah. So generally the stories contain a bit of fantastical magic. They're entertaining, and they take us out of our boring lives into something more interesting. And, you know, it can be said that, like, we all need a little magic in our lives sometimes. So
Yeah. Right. And that magic, when it happens, that your approach that you're talking about, the big idea is magicalness, right? That something's happening that feels magical, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But usually those magical things result in the next big idea. And so the next big idea, and I think it's the more important idea behind the magician archetype, is that of transformation. Something is going to get changed because of this magical idea. Or if it's just a transformation without a magical idea, but you are affecting a change in someone. So If you think about why people buy things, the biggest driver behind a consumer actually making a purchase is they feel the need to make some kind of change. There's a book written by Barry Feig called Hot Button Marketing. Pick that up, and it talks about the things, the ideas that trigger a buying response, right? So if you can tap into those triggers and affect the trigger inside someone, you can get them to change. They can get them to amplifies the driving force inside them. So things like, the feeling the need to enhance your life, to change your appearance, to feel more secure, or to increase your happiness. Everything I'm saying is a change, right? To improve your relationship, to change your attitude. You know, so you get the idea, right? If I want to change something in my life, I feel the need to change something in my life, I'm probably going to go out and seek out products or services that will help me do that. Well, prime opportunity for a magician archetype to transform people's lives as part of their marketing, right? So sometimes making a change in our lives can be affected by buying that product, but other times we need to actually change ourselves. So welcome to the multi-billion dollar world of beauty products. Zoe, I hope you're listening, right? So the ideas, the big ideas are magicalness and transformation. So if you think about your products and your services, like Zoe's skincare products, how do those things change people's lives? And we're going to talk a little bit more about this. But before we do that, Amy, why don't you talk to us about the sub-archetypes?
Sure. So there are just two. The first one is just simply called the magician, and it encompasses those magical qualities we just talked about. And the second one we usually refer to as the butterfly. And as the name implies, it covers the big idea of transformation. And I feel like with most of my clients that choose the magician archetype, the butterfly resonates better with them, because sometimes mm-hmm. they feel like the magician can convey trickery,
yep.
or sleight of hand, or, you know, yep. being that, you know, that magician is, can be awe-inspiring, but it can also be like, oh, what the heck just happened?
Yeah, so, and it's kind of heavily tied to that
white, yeah, so sometimes
bearded dude with a pointy right. hat, and yeah.
Right, right. Or, yeah. and then people don't, you know, you never ever want your customers to feel like you're lying to them or over-promising, right. overselling something.
Right.
So that's why the butterfly sometimes resonates more with people.
Right. And at one point, we were just going to call the magician archetype. Before we even got into the concepts of sub-archetypes, we actually called it the butterfly because mm-hmm. of what you're saying is we felt it was a little less baggage with the word
right.
and a little bit more on the nose of
right.
transformation. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about how we could take these big ideas and weave them into our marketing. Because, you know, you have to do something with these ideas for you to figure out how important it is to your marketing and, you know, how the specific strategies and tactics that you're going to use. So first of all, realizing that people want magic in their lives or to experience some kind of change, that's just the first step. To really kind of rock these ideas, you have to take the next step and understand why your target audience wants a change. So let's take a randomly selected consumer product. Let's say it's a skincare product. Is that random enough for you, Amy?
Oh yeah, Kevin, that's super subtle on your part.
Yeah,
Zoe, this is for you.
That's right, right. Okay, so a lot of companies will tap directly into and will emphasize the obvious benefit that their miracle skin cream reduces fine lines and wrinkles. You know, that's okay, I guess. It sounds good, right? You know, we've all heard that kind of approach a million times.
Right.
But as our listeners have clearly learned, talking about the bullet points and the benefits and the features of your product aren't really emotion-based. So if I say it reduces wrinkles, great. That's an effect of using the product. It doesn't have anything to do with my emotions, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a more astute marketer, especially one that will be using archetypes as the basis of their brand strategy, they're going to ask themselves, why do they want to reduce those wrinkles, right? And so kind of a knee-jerk answer might be because they want to appear more youthful. Of course, I want to appear more youthful. That's why I want to use this cream, not because the cream reduces the wrinkles, because I want to appear more youthful. Again, that's okay.
Getting warmer.
It's not really emotion based. So a far better message would be based on the understanding that your consumers want to feel more youthful, right? How do you message? How do you create a marketing piece with a message that taps directly into a deep, deep desire, the emotion of wanting to feel more vigor and healthfulness and youthfulness and vitality, right? Mm-hmm. So let's take this example. We can work it out a bit more. What kind of ideas do you have, Amy, that you might want to weave into a new skin lotion marketing message?
Well, I definitely want to weave the right words into the message.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that. Yeah. That was a big fat softball for you.
Yep. The ones that exude youthfulness and definitely those words that convey the emotions that people feel when they're feeling youthful, like energized and, you know, that kind of thing. So some of the words that reinforce this idea are also dazzle, transform, your catalyst, enrich, optimize, shift, refine, renew, variety, sleek, things like that. The way that, you know, just emphasize the way you're going to feel and the things that you can do when you feel more energized, i.e. Yeah. youthful, I guess.
Yeah. There's definitely a lot of energy in the idea mm-hmm. of youthfulness versus not feeling youthful. Right. I feel kind of drab and ho-hum and
boring. Yeah. Right. Everybody likes to be noticed, you know, so there's that. Mm-hmm. And some phrases I think that could be used with a change for the better or announcing a major breakthrough, a bold new product or a new brand new product. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorites is right out of tomorrow.
So it speaks to your future self that is going to be quite different than you are today.
But I think, you know, the biggest thing to keep in mind is that you are awe-inspiring. You're giving them something they can't just find anywhere else, and it will be a game changer. And of course, if you would like the full list of magician words from us, you can connect with us by going to brandarchetypes.com, and we have those word banks for you guys. So as usual, I talked about the words. What can you tell us about visuals, Kevin?
Yeah, there's lots of opportunity there too. So of course, showing people in your marketing, actually showing the people who are, you know, people are going to want to emulate psychologically. And if they have a youthful appearance, you know, that's kind of a no-brainer of picking those people, those models for your pieces, right? Yes, you can do that, but let's dial that up a notch. But let me, before I go to the dial it up a notch, when you look at people, when you walk down the street, have you ever noticed that there are some people where you say, that person's probably about 35, and then you look at another person and says, that person's about 35. But if you compare the two, one person just looks and feels healthier. They have a glow in their skin, and they got smile wrinkles instead of frowny wrinkles, and you know, it's not that it has nothing to do with their weight or their, you know, their actual appearance, you know, whether attractive or not. There's some people just have this healthiness about them.
Yeah, it's their vibe.
It's their vibe, So think about the times in your life where you felt alive and you kind of felt like that, right? Where you felt youthful and energetic, you know? What age were you, Amy, if I ask you that question, how old were you when you felt
youthful?
Oh,
probably like late 20s.
Yeah.
But I feel fairly like that now.
Yeah.
But
we all have different things that happen in our life, but we can all tap into, you know, especially someone like me, and I just turned 60 a few weeks ago. I still think I'm 25, right?
I know. Me too. Yeah. I'm like,
Right. But when I do think about the changes that have happened since I was 25, you know, if you're a third of a century ago, my body begs to differ that I am not as youthful as I once was. You know, it tells me that all the time. But let's think about putting myself into the marketing. You know, what age was I, and who was I with, and what was I doing? And think about all those things in your own life. Well, you can tap into that stuff in your marketing. You know, show people doing those things and being energetic. So, you know, what specific emotions were you feeling and expressing when all that stuff was happening? So a great example, I think it's kind of a two-edged sword. It's a great example in that they do it and they do it really well. But pharmaceutical companies, have you noticed how they've kind of mastered this idea?
Yeah, it's formulaic. Their commercials, for sure.
That's the other edge of the sword, right? Yeah. But they have mastered the idea of portraying people in a situation that exudes a certain kind of scenario, whether it's comfort or family bonding or, you know, youthfulness or outdoor excitement. I mean, they're always showing somebody doing
enjoying
something.
Life. Yeah.
It has absolutely nothing to do with the pharmaceutical product, right?
Right.
So, you know, if they're riding in a sailboat, right, you know, the next scene is they're doing something like walking their dog and, you know,
eating a salad.
Right, yeah. Right. But they're always smiling and happy and they're always doing something really fun, right? I want to be like those people. That's what the whole reason why the pharmaceutical is doing is that I want to feel like those people and I might feel that way if I take this product.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that message, but here's the rub. How many times have you ever seen one of those commercials where at the end, you not only can't remember what the name of the product is, but you really don't even know what it actually does.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think, I don't know, I feel like we talked about this recently, maybe it was somebody else I was saying this with, but there's a commercial I see right now because I watch Hulu, right? So you get commercials and there's a woman and it's a hot air balloon. She's a hot air balloonist and she's like, you know, my age. And I've seen it so many times and I still don't know what it does. I'm like, what does this do? I'm like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, there's two or three of those that
I'm like, what?
Yeah, I'm gonna keep an eye out for seeing the commercial next again
because
I want to try to figure it out. But no.
Right.
Yeah. Don't do that.
I know.
But what they're doing, portraying people in a scenario. So what they could do better is tie the scenario that they're showing much more directly to the product itself.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and I think too, before and afters work really well with magicians too. So not
Absolutely.
Only visually,
yeah.
like here's your face before this cream, here's your face after this cream, but right. also like here was your life before you were on this medication. You couldn't do this. You were feeling this, whatever. Here's your life now on this medication.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, we do see those too, but still.
Yeah.
Exactly,
yeah.
like you're saying.
And it was here on the podcast that you mentioned that.
Okay,
Yeah, and so, you know, last week we talked about the really awesome innocent story where, you know, the guy in the walking around in the street and he's doing stuff and the character development and the things that he was doing in just a 3-minute bit, it was this really rich story.
Right.
Well, there's no reason why you can't have that deep and rich of a story with this kind of scenario, right?
Right, yeah.
So, What else? Any ideas that you got on this kind of weaving it into the...
Yeah. So I want to point out a trend that I've been seeing over the last couple of years that makes me very happy as a woman. I think this is partly due to COVID, but also because people are just, you know, going more for healthier, environmentally friendly things. But there's a movement of women who have just been letting their hair go naturally gray.
Beautiful thing.
Yeah. And I mean, I've seen a lot of stunningly beautiful women on Insta Reels and TikTok showing off their hair. And these are women that are just like, they look like normal women. They're not models. They're not, you know, all made up to look with these 20-year-old faces with this gray hair. They're just, they look, you know, they look youthful for their age, but their age is evident. And I think that skincare products or other, makeup and just things like that could kind of follow this trend with the gray hair or being more natural and things like that. I think for that age group is important and just being like, you know, instead of being a better version of yourself, not a different version altogether.
Natural beauty versus artificial beauty.
Right.
Yeah. And a similar trend is the number of models that are being used that are slightly overweight. A little, you know, a little chunkier woman, especially
in the
like women's product.
You know, like Americans.
Normal people. Yeah, right.
right.
Well, not, not morbidly obese, but, you know, a little bit of, you know, I'd like to think that it's, that I'm perfectly normal, but I'm not. I'm a little chunky myself, you know. I could use a little, lose
not.
A little weight.
Yeah. But whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But, I think it's a good trend that what you're saying with the gray hair and, you know, it's, we all want to change for the better, but, you know, I think that there is a healthiness about that natural being yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, here's an example. My uncle, just passed away this last year and, but in his youth, he started to gray a little bit early. And, and he was probably in his late 40s, he decided to dye his hair, and it was this jet black.
Sure, like
bluish.
Shoe polish.
it just looked so fake. And
yeah.
You know, no one's ever going to say anything
right.
to him. And I just said, oh God, I hope my dad doesn't do the same thing. They're brothers, right? You know?
Right. Did he?
and he never
good.
Did. Yeah,
that's
thank
good.
Goodness. Yeah. Okay, so what else do you got?
So another marketing strategy that could work really well would be to make a list of all the emotions your consumer feels, good and bad.
That's a good idea.
And the positive emotions you want them to feel. So you really need to like dig deep on this step. Sometimes this is where those personas can come in really handy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay for this list to be long with lots of nuances and possibilities, even if some of them are kind of all similar, you know, just get them all out like a brain dump.
Mm-hmm.
And then think about your product. So, for example, let's say that we're talking about a hair conditioner. You might have fear of balding, fear of having lifeless hair, fear of raggedy split ends, fear of people not appreciating your luscious gray hair.
Oh, yeah.
Or like, let's say with a cream, like an eczema cream, you might have frustration with scaly skin, feel of unsightly blotches, embarrassment, that kind of stuff. So once you create a list of all those emotions, now you can start the process of creating magical stories and scenarios where your consumer had a negativity, something from your list, removed from their life magically by your product, and they can start to feel all the positive emotions. So you will need to include positive emotions and negative ones so you can kind of match them up.
So it's kind of like a transformation is what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm feeling it. I'm feeling the magic, Amy. So before we get too far with this idea of dramatically changing your approach, let's throw out a couple of words of caution. So first, go to the Magician Archetype page on our website. That's www.brandarchetypes.com. Or you don't need to use the www. You can just go to brandarchetypes.com because that's the way the hip kids do it these days. And be sure to check out the SWOT analysis, the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And especially the weakness and threats section, you're going to find a breakdown of some of the challenges that you will face with the magician archetype. And some of the challenges that this archetype faces specifically, like you said earlier, is that coming across as fake or manipulative, right? Sleight
mm-hmm.
of hand, trickery. Definitely avoid those.
Overpromising.
Right.
Yep.
You know, it's like the Calgon commercial that you brought up. Nobody actually expects to get into a bathtub and then suddenly, unexpectedly, being on a beach in Tahiti, right? That's not actually gonna actually happen. Nobody actually believes that. But let's, you know, take a slightly less in your face, obvious magical instance. What if a wrinkle cream company does make the overly too outrageous claim like permanently removes all wrinkles, you'll look like you're 20 again? Now, their lawyers are probably going to back them down on that.
Right.
But there are definitely commercials and marketing pieces where they go too far. It's like, wow, that seems like a liability almost. So not only will nobody actually believe that it will remove all wrinkles, but more to the point, if you go too far with this whole, you know, manipulating people and being fake and telling lies, you're going to lose all your credibility.
Right.
So, yeah, don't be careful about being unbelievably magical.
Right.
In
we've all seen
claim.
We've all seen those before and after pictures where you're like, that is not even the same person. Like,
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, but talking about, you know, feeling like you're 20 again. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
And showing people that look like they, hey, they look like they feel 20, you know. But they probably look like they're 40 or so, but they've got this youthful glow about them.
Right.
You know, this is all stuff that's going on in your subconscious brain as you're watching the commercial.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So in our show notes, we've got a couple examples of some commercials from the same company that show kind of some of the things we've been talking about today. They're from a company called Udemy.
Udemy. Like Academy or University Academy.
Udemy.
I think I'm not 100% sure how to pronounce it, but it's online courses, basically.
Okay. Anyway, yeah. Online courses for a company. Yep. Yeah. And the first commercial is pretty much straight forward. They talk about the courses and what you might expect to take in the course, and you'll learn new things. You know, it's just
blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. But the second commercial starts out the same way, but then it kind of starts riffing on how you might feel and what you might accomplish. They use words like lead, find, and solve, build, launch, craft, play, and sing, and to rise like you always knew you could. See, sounds like way more magical. Yeah. And they also contain, it also contains a line, you will learn to code, to create. So, yes. So yeah, it's like, if it's a, just a really good example of two commercials that are like kind of night and day that are
From the same company. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Getting better. Yeah.
I think they were just a little lazy on the first one. Right, yeah. We just need to talk about our stuff. That's all we need to do.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? The whole point of this entire podcast series is to talk people out of that decision. The vast number of people who have problems with their marketing or ineffective messaging or ineffective brand strategies, it's because they're too straightforward. They just don't tap enough into emotions. And this is a perfect example of someone who did it both ways. One time they were just being a little lazy. And how I look at it is, that was a waste of time and energy and money and opportunity.
Right. Opportunity. Yeah.
Opportunity for lost. Sure. Yeah. So, yeah, definitely watch both those commercials, and you can kind of feel how the second is way more effective. And, you know, when you watch it, ask yourself, am I actually motivated to want to take a course based on watching this commercial?
Right.
And you may or may not, but which one motivated you more?
Right.
And exactly. It should be pretty obvious the second one did.
Right. Yeah. So, so thank you to our listener, Zoe, for suggesting that we do The Magician next. This is a great example of, we listen to our listeners. We will, if you get a hold of us and have questions or comments or want us to address a certain topic, we will definitely do it for you. So, Kevin, on that note, why don't you give us a wrap up?
Yeah. If you have any questions, give us a call. Zoe. If you're working on being a magician, using the magician archetype as a brand strategy, and you have specific call questions for us, just feel free to reach out to us. Zoe. Okay, all seriousness, Zoe. If you start this process, if you got any ideas or inspiration for what we covered today, and you start working on a marketing concept, please, 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 please feel free to reach out to us and run it by us. We would love to see how... hopefully, our podcast inspired you to do something slightly different. And if you want to review it with us before you launch it, we would more than happy to give our 2 cents to our valued listeners.
Absolutely.
And share in the process and, you know, show what magical thing that you came up with so other magicians can learn from your learning process. That would be a beautiful thing. And that's kind of why we exist. So.
Sorry.
Yeah, so follow us on all the social media platforms at Brand Archetypes. And Amy, I will talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Have a magical weekend, Kevin.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Brand Archetypes podcast. Are you ready to discover your company's archetype? Check out brandarchetypes.com where you can download the book, find out about archetype-specific strategies, connect with us on social media, and sign up for our newsletter.